And the Fez, Steve Fezzik, nobody beats the Fez, is coming up for you at 3:15. We'll do some gambling, find out what he thinks about USC versus Stanford this weekend. Of course, the big NFL, what's he think tonight? Tampa versus the Cowboys. We've got some bets to throw at him, and he's also got his best bet of the week, and he goes on some serious runs getting stuff right, so pay attention to his best bet of the week. We'll keep track of him all year long. So tomorrow is the big event. Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda. We will be playing in the match that has been hyped and sold and pumped up for 3 months now. Me versus Ireland, hole-by-hole coverage starting at 7:30 a.m., hosted by Greg Bergman and Christopher Morales on social media at ESPN Los Angeles on Twitter and Instagram. Greg, are you ready to be the play-by-play guy or the analyst in this thing?
Yes, I am. It's going to be a lot of Morales. You know, Morales does like to get his say in everywhere. But yeah, we are going to be making fun of both of you guys, calling everything, making fun of your swing coaches being there with you.
Don't make fun of the great Derek Allen.
I'm not making fun of him. I'm making fun of you guys for having swing coaches on the course with you.
I don't have a swing coach. I have Travis.
Travis is great.
We can coach your swing. Yeah. Derek is going to talk me through every single shot.
That's what's going to be funny.
Lay up here. Lay up here.
Yeah, well, Mace, you're going to lay up on a lot of holes. You have 27 strokes.
It'll be fun tomorrow.
That'll be tomorrow live from Black Gold. Part of the drama here is seeing if Mason can get anywhere at 7 o'clock in the morning. When's the last time you had to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning? Probably back when we were doing mornings.
1998.
Right. Yeah,
something like that. Right. 7 o'clock is a rumor to me. That's going to be hard. By the way, you have we all have our own specialty drinks that they're serving tomorrow. I'm going to drink yours first thing in the morning before replay. It's the Ireland's Irish coffee. It's good Jameson choice. And coffee. So it's going to mellow me out and hype me up at the same time. That's exactly what I need first thing in the morning.
Is coffee to get you going?
Coffee to get – God, I hope there's a Starbucks near the cheap hotel that I bought the room in myself.
Black Gold.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to chug it, man. I'm going to have to chug coffee.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. All right. So Steve Fezzik coming up for you in just a couple of minutes. One of the big news stories of the day is that the Dodgers lost today 2-1. They've fallen 2.5 games now behind the Giants in the National League West. They put out a lineup that was absolute crap today. Bellinger batted fifth. Steven Souza Jr. batted sixth. Seventh was Billy McKinney, and eighth was Austin Barnes. Between the four, I think they're like five for their last 150, something like that. And there's really no explanation for why Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman would be doing that when we are in a pennant race, just 2.5 games behind and chasing the Giants.
Well, and the other thing is, maybe they wanted to rest up for this series that opens tomorrow night at Dodger Stadium against the Padres. And Mace, take a look at the Padres in the standings. These are must-win games for San Diego. They are desperately trying to hang on to the second wild card spot. So these three games tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday could be a preview of the one-game playoff.
Right, but why surrender today?
I don't know. I have no answer for that.
Bergman, why surrender today? It's like waving the white flag, putting that lineup out there.
I mean, it is waving the white flag. The only thing I liked about that lineup, though, was that at the top of the lineup, they put Mookie Betts 1, where he's better, and they had Trey Turner, who's on like a 15-game hitting streak, in the 3 spot. I did like that, but then everything else behind it was garbage. I don't know why you would even think about giving away a game, period, at any point in September. It just shouldn't happen. So, I mean, having Bellinger in the 5 spot makes zero sense to me, especially with what happened. It actually happened.
Yeah, bases loaded and he pops up.
Yeah.
That's Cody Bellinger right now.
It got to him and he popped up.
You know, I brought this up on Twitter yesterday. I'm curious to get your guys' reaction. If you're a Dodger fan, if you need one hit for everything, you need somebody to deliver at the plate.
Ooh.
Who do you want at the plate? And I think there are multiple good answers to this. John, what do you think?
The first name that popped into my head was Seager, but then I thought, that's what you pay bets for. Justin Turner's kind of been that guy for the team. And the guy who, for whatever reason, has come up time and time and time again this year is Will Smith.
Yes, he has. He's been very clutchy.
I would. So I don't duck your question. Is the pitcher right-handed? If the pitcher's right-handed, give me Seager. If he's left-handed, give me Turner.
Okay.
And, by the way, a year ago it would have been Mookie, but he's not. He hasn't had the year that you know.
I don't feel bad when Mookie's at the plate. I just don't get that sense of certainty. Bergman, what about you?
I think you still got to go JT here. He's been the guy that gets you all the big hits for the last couple of years and has been getting big hits this year. The only other one is either Will Smith or in Trey Turner. Those are the guys that I kind of went up there.
Yeah, I've got I think it's got to be Turner. He's come through Justin. He's come through for us so many times over the years in critical moments. I think JT is who I want. And I think Seager, National League, NLCS most valuable player, World Series most valuable player, Seager has got to be there. And I was not a Seager fan coming into last season, but he has developed much more plate discipline. He used to be just swing at the first pitch, swing at wild pitches. I mean, he had no sense of the strike zone, but he has developed that, and that makes him really, really dangerous. And Will Smith is clutchy as hell. I feel good when Will Smith is at
Me
the plate.
Too.
I feel like every hit that he gets is in the seventh or later. If he hits a home run, it's either to tie the game or to give them the lead.
Is Kershaw scheduled to start this weekend?
Monday.
Yeah.
It's going to be Monday. They're not going to hit it. The pitcher against the Padres.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah. No. He's going to, and he probably will only throw like five innings max because they're going to start to stretch him out.
Right. And this weekend is going to go in the regular order. It's going to go Urias, Buehler, Scherzer. Right.
Got to love that.
Boy, and the Padres are up against it. Man, those are three huge games for them. And when the Dodgers pitched those three guys when they were in San Diego, it was a sweep for L.A.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down. That other wild card is going to come down to Padres, Reds, and Philly, I think. And, you know, the Reds don't seem scary. The Reds, I think, would be the team I would most want to face of those three. I would really rather not face Blake Snell and the Padres. Do you guys agree?
I have no interest in seeing the Padres in the postseason.
Well, yeah, me
whatsoever.
Blake Snell is in particular is unbelievable. I mean, he's been look up what Blake Snell's done in his last four starts. It's a shock he hasn't won them because he had a no hitter the other night going in the seventh inning.
See, I still think they win that game, but with the way that their offense has been going right now, it's just hard to say. Yeah, I want you going up against Blake Snell, who, like Ireland's saying, has been fantastic over his last like four or five starts, including against us.
We can beat the Padres the rest of the way because we've got multiple series against the Padres, and they still could sting us in a one-game playoff. Anybody can sting you in a one-game playoff, and it would be so heartbreaking for a 100-win team like the Dodgers to get knocked out in a wild-card playoff game. That would be just absolutely disastrous. Such a heartbreaking thing. That's why they got to find a way to chase down the Giants. I don't want to be in a one-game playoff. It's too much. Honestly, it's too much. I'm too emotional. I'm too ramped up. One-game playoff is going to make me sick.
But the Giants may earn the division. I mean, every time the Dodgers stumble, the Giants are there to pick up ground. They're 2.5 up now, and there's only 20 games left. So they're you know, I hope
they
do.
We're relying on the Padres, too, by the way, because the Giants have two series against the Padres.
Well,
so they're
at least
in must-win.
Yeah, at least the Padres are going to need those games.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you guys something. I've been waiting to bring this up. Have you seen this tape that's going around, it's gone viral on social media, about the female sports reporter who set up a camera in
yes.
the concourse of the Georgia-Clemson game?
Yep, I watched
All right, so
it.
She sets up her camera, and she's trying to tape her stand-up. And she just gets harassed by a bunch of drunk fans.
Yep.
Like every guy that walks by is grabbing her and yelling at her and ducking their head into the shot. And she said, she cut together a video of all these drunk guys interrupting her and giving a hard time. And what they're doing is inappropriate. Nobody should be treated this way at work. But I wonder what you guys think. You know, I did that for a lot of years, for more than 20 years as a TV reporter. And I'm not so sure that if you set up in the middle of a concourse like that,
yeah,
that you shouldn't expect that type of reaction. Mace, you've done some TV news. You know
yeah.
that when you tape your stand-up or tape a live shot, there are lights. There's a lot of It's a scene.
People walk by you making faces. I mean, there's all that stuff.
Right. So I want to be sympathetic to this girl because I think female reporters put up with this crap all the time. But as somebody who worked in the business for a long time, my first thought was, who set her up there? I mean, she's got a credential. She could go down to the sidelines and shoot it. She can go outside the stadium and shoot it with the stadium in the background. Why would you set up to tape something? And when I say middle of the concourse, this is like where you go to buy food and go to the bathroom. You know, like right out in the middle. Are you completely 100% sympathetic that on how she got treated by these jerks? Or does her and her cameraman have to take some of the blame here?
Well, first of all, maybe that's where she's supposed to do it, right? Doesn't she have a boss?
No way.
No way?
Yeah, I was a reporter for 25 years. You have.
Would you be able to do it, John? Would you be able to do that hit?
I wouldn't put my photographer in that situation, nor would he put me. Like, I worked with all the best photographers. If you make it to Market 2 as a photographer in L.A., you've seen everything. Like, the guys I worked with, the guys like Jody Mena and Glenn Shimada and, you know, all those dudes, they would never put me in that situation. I remember the night the Angels won the World Series.
Right.
I was working with a great shooter that was the guy who shot all the great stuff down in Orange County, a guy named Dave Turner. And Turner anticipated that when the fans emptied out into the parking lot, they were going to be really rowdy. And so he said, John, we can't do this. He goes, I'm going to put you on the roof of the truck. And we got up on the roof of the truck, and somebody actually threw a trash can at me. This is after they won. But he scared all those guys away, and we got the shot, and we got out of there. You got to be conscious of your surroundings. I mean, this is getting a ton of play. It's gone viral on like thousands of websites. And the gist of it seems to be that these fans should be ashamed of themselves.
They should be. If a guy can stand there and do it, why shouldn't a woman?
No, but I'm saying I've never seen a guy set up on the concourse like that. I've never seen, if a guy.
John, I set up on there. I did a hit for Channel 11 from Dodger Stadium.
Did you set up in the concourse?
We were in the concourse, and it was a friggin' zoo. It was after a playoff game. It was after a Cardinals Dodgers playoff game, and a guy, and literally. Ran up to me, ran behind me, made a bunch of silly faces, poured part of a soda on my head. It was I guess it was a Mountain Dew because he yelled, do the do. This is in the middle of a hit.
Yeah, I would argue that you or your cameraman should have had the foresight to say, let's go do this in a private area where they can't get to us. And with your credential, you have access to go to those areas. And I feel sorry for that girl because she deserves better. Anyone does when they're trying to do their job. They don't deserve a bunch of...
Nobody should touch a woman in that situation.
And they don't deserve a bunch of belligerent drunks interrupting them. But the truth of that video is that anybody who's worked in that business, and you and I both have, and we're friends with a lot of people that do now, know you got to pick your spots, and they didn't pick a very good spot.
Hey, I want to remind, so the Fez is coming up here in a minute at 3:30 today. At some point today during the show, I told a lie. Now, if you can figure out what that lie is and you call in at 3:30, you can win a pair of tickets to see Rams Bears Sunday night in the brand new greatest stadium in the history of the world, SoFi Stadium. So think about it.
Okay. So wait a minute. A couple questions.
Yes.
Have you told it yet?
I have.
Okay. Can you give me any other hints? Because I have no idea. I mean, I was like you were yesterday with mine. I don't know.
To me, it's obvious.
Where would you direct me? Certain time of the show, certain subject matter, what?
I would direct you to the last half hour.
Okay.
I think I got it.
Okay.
Okay. That is coming up for you at 3:30. In the meantime... Nobody beats the Fez. Nobody beats the Fez. Steve Fezzik is going to join us.
Yeah.
He is our gambling guy all season long. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is here, the world's foremost gambling expert, Steve Fezzik. He is our guy. Fez, how are you? Happy new football season.
Insanely busy in Vegas. I can't get over. Everyone sign up for all these different contests. It is bedlam here.
All right, Fez, let's start with tonight's game. I've got a pretty strong feeling about this one. Bergman thinks the opposite. I love Tampa laying the 9. The Cowboys don't have Zach Martin. He's their number one. But I thought the Cowboys looked very spotty in the preseason. I think Tampa Bay is going to want to make a point coming off that Super Bowl win. I would lay the 9. Bergman would take the 9. What do you say, Fez, about the opener tonight?
So I bet Tampa Bay earlier in the summer. I would lean, just to lean, at the current 9 because the spread has gone up so much. You could have laid 6.5 on Tampa before Hard Knocks exposed how dysfunctional the Cowboys are. I think the way at this, though, play a teaser at this point. Play a teaser and get Tampa down to -2.5 and pair them up with the Rams. I would say Tampa to the Rams teaser is the way to go at this point.
Okay, you mentioned the Rams. That is, of course, I'm season ticket holder. I will be at SoFi Stadium Sunday night football against the Bears. How do you see that game?
I see more of the same. What have I seen the last two times that the Rams played the Bears is the Rams were mediocre on offense, and their defense completely stymied the Bears. Even with the new DC, I don't see anything changing. I see the Bears being limited to 13 points. The Rams, maybe some hiccups, not having enough reps in preseason to really extend. But I like the Rams, 24-13 Rams.
All right, Fez, my Raiders are the Monday night game. They are a favorite, shockingly. Or I'm sorry, they're an underdog at home, a home dog, which you always say, pay attention to home dogs. Last time I checked, it was Baltimore by 4. Is that the line still for the Monday night game in Vegas?
It is, and there are reports coming out that Gus Edwards may have torn his ACL, which would have been enormous.
Yeah, we actually, Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto, told us that just a little while ago.
So all of a sudden, one of the deepest positions for Baltimore becomes one of the weakest ones at running back, and for a team that runs the ball more than half the time, that is an extremely big deal. The big question with Vegas games, maybe you can help me with this. I am not sure what percentage of the crowd is going to root for Raiders. I think in a game like this, it might be 70%. But when we play the Bears and the Eagles, I could see the Raider fans being in the minority. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Raider fans tend to travel really well.
They travel really well.
So, Fez, when, for example, if they play the Rams or the Raiders in Los Angeles, more than half the stadium is Raider fans. I don't know what that will be like in Vegas, because there weren't fans last year. When they were in Oakland, the fans were fantastic. They, you know, the black hole, everybody showed up. Because it's Baltimore, like if it was the Packers or the Steelers or a team like that, or the Cowboys, that travels really well, I'd be worried. But I think it'll be predominantly a Raider building. Have you been, what we, Mason and I jokingly call the Roomba, have you been to Allegiant Stadium in your neighborhood there?
I'm embarrassed to say I've driven by it 50 times. I'm always parking at Mandalay Bay, and I've never been inside the Death Star.
Yeah, me either. I think it'll be predominantly Raider fans, Fez, because of the opponent. I just think that if it was a different opponent, you might have a story there. But
plus, I mean, the great thing about Raiders fans, they're so adorable. They put on their makeup and they put on their costumes, and you know, they like to dress. They play dress up for their football games. You know what I'm saying, Fez?
Every day is Halloween at Raider games. I can only imagine if there is a game on Halloween here, but I can tell you, five of the six most expensive tickets in the NFL this year, other than TB going back to Foxborough, are right here in my town. The demand is off the charts for games at Allegiant.
No kidding. Wow, that's good to know. Okay, so Fez, Mason and I have each got some parlays going. Just give us a quick thought and tell me if I'm on the right side of these games, all right? My college games, sure. There's three of them. I'm going to take Ohio State and lay the 14.5 at home against Oregon. Oregon looked really bad to me, bailed themselves out with a play late in the fourth quarter. I think Ohio State, who didn't exactly come out guns blazing, is going to be ready for the Ducks and blow them out. Am I laying too many points?
I think you're okay. You know, when I watched that Ohio State-Minnesota game, it sure felt like Ohio State had all the athletes, and right. they were just not quite gelling yet, so it being the second game, I think Oregon is overrated and the Buckeyes are a legitimate contender and going to be a Final Four team. I can only look Buckeyes.
Okay, let me ask you about my college football game. I was not happy as a Trojan fan by their performance against San Jose State. They did manage to cover with a couple of late scores. I am going to go back to the well. Stanford looked awful in week one. I am going to put some money on USC.
Oh, I hate this pick.
USC minus, is it minus 13.5?
17 now.
17. Yeah, I'm going to go USC minus 17 over Stanford. Stanford looks awful.
I agree with you. If I had to bet it, I would lay it. You know, USC actually had a pretty good opponent last week, so I'm not going to dock them. If anything, I'll upgrade them a little bit. What was telling with Stanford, when they got down 24-0, in a game that they're only a small underdog in, they matriculated the ball down the field, and even when they scored with about 5 minutes to play, they kicked the extra point to go down 17, so they cut a three-possession game into a three-possession game with a touchdown drive. I've never seen that before in the fourth quarter, but David Shaw and company were basically saying, we can't win. K-State is way better than us. We just want to score and put 7 points up. Given that's the case, I want no part of Stanford right now.
Okay, Fez, you mentioned the two games that I like in the NFL. I'm looking for a third team for a three-game parlay. I'm laying Tampa tonight. I'm taking the Rams on Sunday night. What are the – and maybe this is your best bet. We haven't asked you yet. I don't know if your best bet's an NFL game, but if it is, now's the time to lay it on us. I need one more NFL winner that I can parlay with the Bucs and the Rams. What other NFL game do you like the most?
The Washington football team against the – I don't know if I should call them the L.A. Chargers. I have to, right?
Because yep, yeah, you got no choice.
Exactly. And I think it's going to be tough in September for the Chargers. Obviously, Herbert massively overexceeded expectations, but now he has to deal with four new linemen, and I think that offensive line will be fine in October. I don't think it's going to be fine week one, not against that Washington defensive front. And first time Herbert has faced hostile crowd and crowd noise, I think that's a big factor to start the NFL year. These NFL teams put up a whole lot of points scoring through the charts last year with no crowds. Now I think the crowd noise is really going to bother some of these younger quarterbacks.
That game is a pick'em, right, Fez?
It is a pick'em. I don't think it will be on Sunday. I think the Washington football team will clearly close the favorite and is a deserving favorite. Bet that one now.
I'm betting the Chargers straight up in that thing. I'm betting the Chargers straight up.
Yeah, I don't. I'm with you, Fez. A brand new offensive line.
I like Justin Herbert. I like Austin Eckler. I think he's primed for a big year. I like the Chargers straight up over that. Is he not playing?
He's questionable.
Well, everybody questionable tends to play.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Fez, is that your best bet or is it something else?
Best bet is the Washington football team.
Okay. All right, Fez, listen, we're really glad you're back this year. We can't wait to get fans back in the building and start ramping it up here with some of these games. And we've got nothing but football coming for the next 17, 18 weeks. So we're really glad to have you along for the ride.
Oh, I appreciate it. And the big news here in town is that there's a new sportsbook, Circa, that has a Survivor contest that they're guaranteeing $6 million. So many people are taking Tampa Bay to survive in advance.
Yeah.
If Tampa Bay loses Thursday, there is going to be a rush of people to enter Friday because they could start 0-0 when one-fifth of the field, the entries have already been eliminated.
Oh, good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, awesome.
All right. Thank you very much, Fez. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there's the Fez. He's with us all year long.
And you, by the way, you can read his and get his picks at pregame.com.
Yes. By the way, I'll just throw this out there. Jacob Chai, who's a regular listener of our show, a very big fan of the show, his father has passed away. His name is Dr. John Chai, and we wish him hail fellow well met.
Ah.
That was requested by Jacob. So,
yeah, sorry to hear that, Jacob. Hope you're hanging
well
in there.
Met. Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, the golf story is set. The
story are we doing Lie of the Day next?
Yeah, and we're doing Lie of the Day. Jump on the phones. 877-710-ESPN. Do you know the lie of the day? At some point today, I told a completely fictitious story. Do you think you know what it is? If you do, you can win tickets to see Bears-Rams Sunday night at the world's greatest stadium, SoFi Stadium, 877-710-ESPN. Then Game of Games is coming up after that. Greg Bergman, his first Game of Games. He has written the game. We will find out if he momos it or if he can deliver. Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Right now, we're giving away a pair of tickets for Rams versus Bears Sunday night at SoFi Stadium. If you can identify the lie of the day. Greg, do we have them lined up and ready to go?
We do. They're all set for you.
All right, cool. Curtis in Whittier is going to get the first crack at this. Hey, Curtis, what did Mason lie about?
I don't think anybody threw a Mountain Dew at Mason and said, do the do.
You are absolutely right, Curtis. You get the tickets for Sunday.
Curtis, you're going to the Rams game.
As soon as he said that, I turned my head up like, he would have mentioned that by now.
I thought the same thing, but it's good on you for listening, Curtis. Okay, stay on the line. Taylor's going to get your information, and Mason will see you at the Ram game on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday night, man. We're going to be there.
All right.
Thanks, Curtis. Appreciate it, man. And by the way, there are still a few tickets left for Rams-Bears. You can go get them at therams.com/CHI.
Hey, by the way, what do you think is going to happen tonight? Bergman thinks the Cowboys are going to cover. I think the Bucs are going to blow them out. What do you think?
You know, given the fact that I had this stat earlier. What did I have? Thursday night football openers. Home teams are 11-3-4 against the spread. I'll take Tampa and lay the points.
I am too. Yeah, I think that's.
I'll root for the Cowboys. I hate Tampa. I hate any team Tom Brady goes to. I just have that reaction.
Well,
I hate him less now that he's in Tampa than when he was in New England.
What a terrible day for Baltimore. You know, not only did Gus Edwards tear his ACL, they think Marcus Peters did too.
Oh, man.
And they already lost J.K. Dobbins for the year.
Wow.
Man, that's a bad couple of weeks if you're a Ravens fan.
Yeah, that is rough. That is rough. Ready for the fantasy football weekend. We ran both of our rosters by Matthew Berry a little bit earlier today at 2 o'clock. And as I predicted, Matthew Berry likes my fantasy football roster better than yours this year, John. First time ever.
Right. And we're actually going to settle it on the field because we play each other this weekend.
Ooh.
You got any guys going tonight? You got any Cowboys or any Bucks?
Nope, neither one. You?
Yeah, me either. Nope.
Yeah, me either. No, it's all going to be settled on Sunday. All going to be settled on Sunday. And I don't know why. They always put us first and they always put us last.
Yeah, because it's fun.
God.
Hey, can I get this in real quick?
Yeah.
Since we're going to be at the golf tournament tomorrow, and this is kind of, well, it could be serious. I don't know. Maybe it's nothing. You guys tell me. You know, I'm going on this trip to North Carolina.
Right.
I'm flying on Saturday.
Okay.
So I'll be actually in a plane flying on the 20th anniversary of September 11th. Is that risky or stupid on my part in any way? I never even thought about it. I just booked it.
You know, the world is different now. We have added so much, so many safety measures to the way we fly. The FAA, the Department of Homeland Security, I think you're fine. I think you're absolutely
well,
fine.
And then
it is a little eerie, though.
Yeah, and let me use this because I do it every year, and this year, September 11th, is on a Saturday. But I get on my soapbox every year, and I don't want to do it at the golf tournament tomorrow. If you've never seen it, for my money, United 93, the movie directed by Paul Greengrass, which is who's the guy who did all the Bourne movies.
Yep.
He used no big-name actors. You won't recognize a lot of people. There are some people that have gone on to become popular since they did the movie, but at the time, none of these guys were very well known. It is the story of the one plane that didn't hit its target. In other words, if you've studied 9/11, you know that two planes hit the towers, one hit the Pentagon, and one went down in a field in Pennsylvania. That was United 93. The movie's available on however you watch movies. You just have to Google it, whether it be Netflix or Hulu or whatever. If you've never seen it, particularly if you have children that are now old enough to understand what happened on 9/11, this is a gripping, in-detail account.
It's a brilliant movie, yeah.
It's not a documentary. It's matter of fact, Bergman, have you ever seen United 93? Oh, is he doing something? Taylor, have you seen it? United 93, Mace, for my money, is the last movie I remember. I watched it with one of the photographers at KCAL. We were down in Orange County getting ready to work a Ducks game or an Angels game, so I went to like a 2 o'clock showing. I had to walk around the theater twice by myself to get it out of my head. That's how well done this movie is. A lot of the people you'll see in this movie, if you watch it, were the actual people who were working in the control towers at various airports on that day. Greengrass went and found him and said, could you recreate what you did that day, and do you want to be in this movie? And it's just incredibly well done. I think it got nominated for Best Picture that year,
didn't it? It got nominated
for
Best Picture. Paul Greengrass is an unbelievable director, and as you said, they used a lot of the actors are the people who were actually involved, particularly the air traffic controllers on that particular day, and it gives it a sense of gripping realism. And you're right, John, 20th anniversary. It's amazing to think. There are a lot of people probably listening right now who were not even alive on 9/11 20 years ago.
And if you've never seen the story, I mean, if you want to see what a real life hero looks like, imagine yourself on a plane. Mark Bingham was a rugby player at Cal who was on that flight and didn't know anybody else on the flight. So picture yourself on a flight. You know the cockpit has been taken. You know, and they were talking. Remember, Mace, you had those phones that you could slide your credit card through and make calls? So they were talking. They were calling their loved ones saying, we think our plane's been hijacked. And their loved ones on the ground were saying, a bunch of planes have been hijacked. They've hit the towers. Your plane is going down. They're going to use it as a weapon. And these guys in the back of the plane whispered and said, we got to do something. And basically went on a suicide mission to the cockpit, and one of them broke through the cockpit door, and the other one ripped those pilots out of the seats and crashed the plane into the ground, and they all died.
In Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
But it is so well done and so close. And by the way, Mace, they started in real time. You see the hitchhikers or the hijackers in Boston, it starts with them getting to the airport and going through security, and it ends when the plane goes down. And I think the whole movie runs like a minute or an hour 40. And it's just, I can't recommend it enough if you are trying to understand what it was like on 9/11, and the 20th anniversary of that is Saturday. So if you've never seen United 93 and you're interested in that subject, can't recommend it enough.
And, of course, commemorations all weekend long at One World Trade Center in downtown Manhattan, and also in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, they will recognize what went on there. So take a moment, a few moments on Saturday, and just remember where we were, what we did, how we lived through it, and all those who suffered in this terrible, terrible day of tragedy. All right, let's turn the page on that, and let's play some game of games.
Yeah, we'll lighten it up, and it's Bergman's game today. We don't. Greg, do you want to – I don't know if he's available. We went to him in a second, but Bergman will have the game coming up.
Yeah, Bergman's game is coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It is game of games time, and it is Greg Bergman's game today. So far in the month of September, we've got the score. It is Ireland 1, Mason 1, Bergman 2.
So amazingly, one of us has a chance to catch Bergman today.
That's right. It is Bergman's game today. Greg Bergman, what do you got for us?
All right. So I have a list of bands or groups, and you have to tell me who it is based on me only giving you the members' first names. Now, Taylor, are you going to be able to play?
You know me.
All right. Perfect. So, for example, if I say George, Paul, John,
Beatles,
Ringo.
Beatles,
yeah,
Ireland. Beatles,
yeah. This is an example.
But is your name your buzzer?
Yes. The name is your buzzer. So if you're ready, we can start off now.
Ready.
All right. Christ. Dave.
Nirvana.
Ooh, wait, say your name.
Taylor, you have to
Taylor.
Say your name.
Taylor.
Nirvana.
That is correct.
There you go.
One for Taylor.
Taylor's got one.
All right, number two. John, Chad, Anthony,
Mason.
Mason.
I'll go Beach Boys.
Wrong.
Taylor.
Chili Peppers.
Chili Peppers is right.
Oh,
ooh. Yeah. All right. Lauren, Praz, Wyclef.
Mason.
Mason.
That is Wu-Tang Clan?
No.
Ireland. Is it the Fugees?
Yes, that is definitely the Fugees. All right, good job.
That is tough. Yeah. Taylor 2, Ireland 1, me nothing.
All right, let's do this one. Ted, Ben, Marcus.
Mason. Mumford and Sons.
That is Mumford and Sons. Oh, yeah, I was hoping you would get that one.
Yeah, God, if I missed that one, that's my favorite band.
By the way, Mace, you know that Marcus Mumford's doing the music for Ted Lasso?
Yes, I hear that theme song all the time. Yeah.
Go ahead, Greg.
All right. Ronnie, Michael, Ricky. Ronnie, Michael, Ricky.
Ireland.
Ricky, Ireland.
I think that's New Edition.
No.
Mason. I'll try Boyz II Men.
No. Taylor, you got a guess?
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky.
Only three.
Ronnie, Michael, Ricky.
I got nothing.
Belle Biv DeVoe.
Oh, Belle Biv DeVoe.
New Edition was the prior group. Belle Biv DeVoe was a spinoff of New Edition. I think I should get half a point.
Nope.
Nope.
Not happening.
This was Belle Biv DeVoe.
All right. Taylor still leads.
All right. Larry, Adam, The Edge.
Mason.
Mason.
That's you two.
That is Mewtwo.
Okay. Mason's
Taylor
two.
Taylor two, Mason two, Ireland one.
All right. Let's go with Inspected Deck, You God. RZA, Jizza, Mason.
That's Wu-Tang Clan.
That is Wu-Tang Clan. Good job.
Okay, so Mason takes the lead.
This one should be pretty easy. Michelle, Kelly.
John. Destiny's Child.
That is Destiny's Child.
Ooh,
is that your
Ireland
first one, Iron?
No, I have two.
I have two. Taylor has two. Mason has three.
All right. Let's do Crazy, Lazy, Busy, Wish, Flesh and Bone. Nobody?
Taylor.
Nobody? Taylor.
Taylor?
The Wiggles.
No,
that
no.
That is not the Wiggles. I know those. That would be Greg and Jeff, and I know all those Wiggles.
No, that was Bone Thugs and Harmony. Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah, so, Mason and I are getting that. No,
well, you know, I got to make them, you know, all over the place here. I believe I have 10 of these, so that's, I think this might be the last one.
All right,
one.
So Mason wins it if he gets it, if me or Taylor ties him. Do you have a tiebreaker?
I do have a tiebreaker.
Okay,
I do have a tiebreaker.
This is the last one then.
Bruce, Al, Mike, Brian.
Mason. That's the Beach Boys.
That is the Beach Boys.
Yay! Yes! Hey!
All right.
I was waiting for the Beach Boys. I knew they were in there.
There's so many bands. Who knows that I was going to do that one? All right. Well, do you want the tiebreaker anyway?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Give it to
me. All right. So the Beatles have sold the most albums of all time. Elvis Presley is second. How many more albums than Elvis have the Beatles sold? Closest wins. Not going over. Doesn't matter. You go over or not. Doesn't matter.
All right. So it's you're asking for the difference.
Correct.
So
between the Beatles,
all right, so
and
Mason
Elvis.
Won, so you go first.
I will say, I'll go 20 million.
No.
Well.
What do you mean no?
No, he can't be. He could win.
Okay. 20 million. Okay, 20 million.
Taylor?
200 million.
Okay.
I think it's somewhere in between that. I'll say 100 million.
So Mason is the winner at 20 million. It was 56.3 million.
Yeah, I was not that far off. You made it sound like it was completely far
off. I didn't mean to say
off.
No. I shouldn't have said no. It's the first game, all right? It's the first game I've done.
And it was
the
Beatles,
not terrible.
No, the Beatles had 285.4 million, and Elvis Presley has 229.1 million.
All right, nice. So Mason, that means do you tie Bergman for the lead now?
Yeah, I have two. Bergman has two. Ireland has one. And Bordop, we'll call it Bordop, has zero. So far.
And Mason, tomorrow it's your game, right?
Yes, my game tomorrow.
Okay, so I could get in a three-way tie for first, or Bergman can pull away, or the Bordop could scratch.
Right, Bordop just seems so mean.
Expectations tomorrow. Expectations tomorrow for the golf match. Greg Bergman, what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to be pretty close. And now that you guys changed it so that you're close, so you only can have three strokes, I think you're going to win, Mace. I think you got this one. I'm with you.
Taylor, what do you think? Me or Ireland tomorrow?
I got you. 100%.
Nice. A lot of faith in me for some reason.
Mason,
but you don't have any faith in yourself.
I also have you. I think 27 strokes is way too many. But if I go low, I've got it in me. I didn't have it today, but I've got it in me. If I go low and put a little pressure on you, you might fold like one of those beach chairs. I think if I could win, for example, the first three holes.
Yes.
I think you would freak out.
All right. Listen, tomorrow, watch it live. 7 a.m. will be on the range. 7:30 is tee time. And you can watch it at ESPN Los Angeles on either Instagram or on Twitter. Coming up next for you, my favorite afternoon show.
Wait a minute. We're way early.
No. I was told 350.
50, yeah, so 10 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Coming up next for you is Sedano and Cap, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.